First of all, notes. I don't have notes these days. I think it's something to do with old age, I'm not sure. But thank you for asking me again. It's so wonderful to be here. And we've had some wonderful hymns of praise. And we're going to read a psalm of praise. I make no apologies, I read from the Authorized Version. I've told you before, I'm too old to change. So, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Now Psalm 84. I'm changing one word. I have at least got to change one word. Instead of amiable, lovely. A wonderful word, isn't it? How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, or valley of weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. How amiable. I looked up in the dictionary this word amiable, and it means lovely, wonderful, great. And isn't it really wonderful to be in here this morning? Don't you think so? It's a wonderful place to be on the Lord's Day, or come to that any day of the week. To be in the Lord's presence, in the Lord's house, worshipping him. And it is wonderful. You know, I was looking at the news the other day, and I saw these scientists had built this great Hadron converter thing under the Alps. And they'd spent billions and billions of dollars building it and firing atoms round to collide with each other to find out how the world came into existence. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, God created the heaven and the earth. What a waste of money. Isn't it? What a waste of money. And the other day they found something called a Higden or fun. Something like that. Sounds like a load of rubbish, but still. Now they've decided to give the Nobel Prize to the man that found it. And one of the scientists said something that's caught my attention. He said, because we found this, it proves one thing to me, that there is a God. I knew that a long time ago. I knew that when I was a little boy going to Gresham School. And praise God, I know it now. I remember an atheist saying, I don't believe in God, and thank God I don't. Defeats the object, really, doesn't it? But isn't it wonderful to come into the presence of the Lord in this meeting place? It's wonderful to know that our Saviour is here. It's wonderful to know that when we come in here, we meet with God, we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the eyes of faith, we see Him. I think I've told you this before, but you know, it bears telling you again about the lady who used to go and clean a church, and she took her little girl with her, because some of you are here that I haven't seen before. She took her little girl with her and she sat the little girl down where the children normally sit. And there were games there and there were books there to read. And she said, you sit here while I go and clean the church. She got on with her polishing and her hoovering and all the rest of it. And when she finished, she went back to the little girl and was still sitting there. No books unopened. No games unopened. And she said, has anyone come in? No. Oh, yes, she said, yes. Jesus came in. Oh. Did he speak with you? No. Did you speak with him? No. Then what did you do? We just sat and loved each other. We just sat and loved each other. My dear friends, I want to ask you, when was the last time you sat down with the Lord Jesus Christ and just loved Him? No need to say a word. He's special, isn't he? And we can just sit in a quiet place. It might be up on the moors here. It could be at Heath Pond. It could be in your own garden. It could be in your own room. And just sit with the Lord Jesus and love Him. And let Him love you in return. That's how wonderful this place is. Here we can come. And even if we came in here and never sung a hymn and didn't even open God's word, we could still sit here and feel the love of Christ flooding over us. And it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? You see, you don't have to go to Bible studies. You don't have to go to prayer meetings. It's lovely if you do, but you don't have to. You can still love the Lord just where you are. But you know, it's wonderful to have fellowship with one another. Isn't it? And here we are this morning having fellowship with one another. how amiable or how lovely, how great are your meeting places. And the psalmist here doesn't tell us exactly how lovely they were, because his feelings were inexpressible. I can't tell you how lovely Jesus is, because I feel he's so wonderful, he's so great, he's such a loving Saviour. And that's the most amazing thing. Despite all that I've done in my life, despite the fact I used to be an alcoholic, despite the fact that I've greatly sinned against him, he loves me. He loves me. And that's the most amazing thing of all. He loves me. But you know, more wonderful than that, he loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. I remember reading a testimony of a man who was saved in Israel many, many years ago, and he said, you know, I'm surprised God loves me, but he does, and I have murdered 70 people. And yet God still loves me. And Christ has saved me. And he was able to stand up and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God we have. Do you know, I saw an interview on the television where one of the survivors from Belsen was being interviewed by a television interviewer, and the interviewer, very sort of non-committal about the interview really, he turned around to the man and he said, yeah, and where was your God when you were in Belsen? And the man turned around and he said, my God was there in the dust beside me. What an answer. I'd love you to have been there, because you should have seen the reporter or the interviewer's face. He couldn't answer. He didn't know what to say. My God was there in the dust beside me. And it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter how we're feeling. God is there. Christ is there. And Christ went to Calvary's cross, and he died on that cross for you and for me. He gave his life a ransom for you and for me. We sang, didn't we, about Christ on the cross? We sang about all the injuries, about the despicable way that men had treated him. And it was all true. That Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, he had nails hammered through hands and through his feet. He had a spear thrust into his side. He had a thorn of crowns placed and hammered upon his head. He had the beard torn from his face. He had his back lashed. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Doesn't it mean anything to you? It means everything to me. Do you ever weep because of it? I do, very often. There used to be a preacher up in Scotland, and you know, I can't remember his name. No, he was a writer of injuries. Now, this young man, he was only a young man, he died when he was 27. He was a tremendous preacher of the gospel. And they kept the pulpit, and it's down in the cellar of the church, and they've kept everything, and they showed people round. And one man went down into the cellar, into the basement of the church, and he said, "Oh, is that the pulpit that preacher used?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what are all these stains on it?" He said, "They're tear stains." "Oh?" "Yes," he said. When he got to the lectern and he opened the Word of God and he read about the suffering of Christ, he wept. He wept. That's what those stains are. He wept. Was he weeping about Christ? Yes. But what was he mostly weeping about? He was weeping because there were people in that congregation who didn't know Christ, who'd never acknowledged the fact that Christ died. That's why he was weeping. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that God collects in his bottles our tears. I wonder how many bottles he's got with your name. How lovely it is to come into the presence of our God, to worship him, even to weep, to understand that God loves us with an everlasting love, to understand that Christ died for us, and despite what we have done, he loves us even more. That to me is, wow, it's absolutely wonderful. And I'm sure it is for you, all you who know Christ as your Saviour. It is really wonderful, isn't it? I remember coming to this hall when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And we used to sit in circles along the side in the Sunday afternoons when the Sunday school was held, and there were probably 50 or more children at the Sunday school on the Sunday afternoon. And our teachers used to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the scriptures. And we grew up, and some of us trusted in Jesus and others just went their own way. But the memory of this place stays with me, and it's wonderful to, after all these years, to come back and preach for you. Because I was baptized there in the baptistry. I think I'm standing on it. I hope it doesn't give way. I always remember, I when I came out of the police force, I became a self-employed gardener and a landscape. And I had built a fish pond for a person, and I was looking at something else, forgot I'd built the fish pond, and I stepped backwards and fell in the fish pond. But it was such a beautiful summer's day, I didn't mind, it cooled me down a bit. But that's why I hope that doesn't open up. I don't suppose there's water in it, but anyway. But it was wonderful to be baptized here, to go down through the waters of baptism in this lovely hall, and to sit at the back and see Dorothy, Rosemary and my dad one after the other go through the waters of baptism. And I was weeping. Why was I weeping? They were being baptized. I was weeping for joy. I was weeping for joy because my sisters and my father had come to know Christ as their Saviour. And that was the most wonderful time for me. And 3 years later, my dear dad was taken by the Lord, and he's with the Saviour now. How amiable. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Wow, what feelings. what feelings these are. And then he says, it seems odd, this psalmist, you know. He then talks about the birds. He talks about a sparrow and a swallow building their nest. And it seems to me that as I read this, that the swallow or the sparrow had built their nest on the altar. Somewhere where they could have their young. And what better place than on the altar? Even thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Then he goes on to say, blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord. Did you know that? You're blessed this morning. You're blessed. I know. Sure, I never thought I'd be blessed by God. Yet I'm blessed in the house of the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? That's absolutely wonderful. And it's nothing so wonderful to me to meet up together with the saints. And I can tell you this, that when I come through that door, I feel the same thing that I feel in my own chapel. I feel love emanating from the folk here. It's tremendous. It really is. It's wonderful. Is that what you feel? We had a lady come to our chapel for the first time. And when she left, she came up to me, she said, oh, she said, the love that I felt when I came in here, it lifted me up. And we've been lifted up today by the love shown to us in this place. And the love that's shown to us by Fran and Chris, who put us up for the night last night. It's absolutely wonderful. It's wonderful to be staying with people who know the Lord. And we were chatting late into the night, and poor Fran was going to sleep in the chair, and we were chatting about the Lord and having a wonderful conversation about the love of God. And it is tremendous to be able to speak to believers about the Lord, isn't it? To converse with each other. Excuse me while I have a look at the next page, I don't know where I'm going. The psalmist says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Here was someone longing to enter into the Lord's presence. Someone longing to have fellowship with other saints. Someone longing to worship God. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you here because you have that longing? Or are you here because it's Sunday and you think you ought to be here? Be honest. Answer it. Don't tell me. Answer it in your own mind, in your own heart. Which is it? Are you here because you have that longing to have fellowship with the other saints of God? Longing to have fellowship with God? Longing to know the Lord Jesus Christ's closeness to you? Or are you just here because it's Sunday and you feel you ought to be? I hope it's the first. Now, I hope that if it is the second, you'll meet Jesus today. The point is, you see, people think that because they belong a church, maybe they've signed to say I'm a member of this church, maybe they've been welcomed into membership, doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. But faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you upon the cross of Calvary, makes you a Christian. And the brethren always used to stick by what the Lord Jesus Christ said: conversion, baptism, and breaking of bread. That's a wonderful thing, to be baptized, to go down into those waters of baptism. That doesn't make you a Christian. But it is a public example of the fact that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember down near Portsmouth at an assembly down there, we baptized an old man of 72. He insisted on being baptized, even though he was crippled with arthritis. He said, "No, I must be baptized. I must be baptized." So we took him through the waters of baptism. And when we drained the baptistry afterwards, we found a pipe and a pouch of tobacco. And we took it back to the old chap and said, "I think you dropped this." "Not me." "Pardon?" "Not me. That was the old man. I'm the new man. I don't smoke." You may smile at it, but isn't it right? Isn't it? It's wonderful, isn't it? "I'm the new man. That belonged to the old man." And it's so wonderful, isn't it, to come to the table where we see the bread and the wine. And you know, I had to take a communion service the other day, and I looked at the table and I stood there looking at it, and I said, "You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of a young man and a young woman who have met together, and they've got to know each other so well they decided to get married. And the young man goes to the jewelers and he buys an engagement. And he places it on the young lady's finger. And it's a promise that he's going to marry her one day. It's a promise that he makes. He's engaged to her. And you know, that table is our engagement ring. Because we are the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. And he's made a promise that he's going to come, he's going to take us home, he's going to take us to the marriage feast of the Lamb in the glory, and that table is that engagement ring that he's given to each one of us so that we can remember we're engaged to Christ. Don't you think that's wonderful? One day we're going to all get married. Isn't that fantastic? Do you know, when at my marriage ceremony, the man that was taking it, his name was Moses. I don't know how old he was. But anyway, he said, "Oh, our dear brother has been married before, when he was 14. I looked at my future wife and I thought myself, "Hang on a minute, I was only 14 at that time. I haven't been married before." "Sorry," he said, "I made a mistake. He was converted when he was 14. Ha! Ah, then I became engaged when I was 14, didn't I? Became engaged to the Lord. I married Muriel when I was 27, not when I was 14. So he made a mistake, but in a way he didn't. You see what I mean? But he was a man who was longing, had a deep longing in his heart to worship God, to go into the presence of God, to go into the temple and to worship God. Did you have that longing this morning? Or is it just a habit? come into God's presence to worship Him? Are we prepared to go into the presence of Almighty God with this great longing of wondering in our hearts, with this great love? Or is there a dryness in our worship? Is there such a dryness that has become boring? And we go because, well, I suppose I ought to be there. But it is rather boring. If it's got like that, then I suggest the first thing you do is to get on your knees before Almighty God and admit it to Him. And ask Him to give you back the excitement of knowing Christ as your Saviour. Because it is exciting. I tell you what, you ought to have our scripture reader from the Salisbury Garrison here speaking to you, Nick Wilson. I'll tell you this, 1 minute he's here, next minute he's over there, next minute he's over there, and he turns to the congregation and he says, "It's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to know Christ?" Dear friend, isn't it exciting to know Christ? Isn't that? It's wonderful. It's absolute. Well, it's out of this world, isn't it? The world cannot join with us in this excitement because they don't know. They don't even acknowledge this. Do you have a dryness in your soul? Let's see what David said when he was in the wilderness in Psalm 63. Good exercise, this. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Why? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Wow. This is exciting. This was a king writing these songs. And how excited he had become because he was going to meet his Lord. Dear friends, let a bit more of excitement of knowing Christ enter your life. Wake up and realize that the love of Jesus can be an exciting thing to own, an exciting thing to have within your life. See, by the smiles all around, that's a change too. I normally, friend said to me last night, I think of you when you stand at the front and you turn round to people and say something and then turn round and say, well, come on then, smile. But you're smiling today. That's wonderful. You must have got the excitement of worship and the excitement of knowing Christ. It's tremendous. This brings a smile to your face. It brings happiness to your heart. It brings joy to your soul. It's wonderful. It really is fantastic. I was listening to a disc, a CD, the other day. And surprise, surprise, who was preaching? Dan. It was a disc that I got from here. And Dan, I enjoyed it very much. And I've also got one of our dear brother here preaching as well. And I enjoyed that as well. So, I've also got some of myself. I don't know whether I enjoyed them or not, but Muriel did. I think I did too. You see, when the preacher preaches, he doesn't really know what he's saying because he doesn't hear it himself, or he does hear it, but I mean, he's concentrating on speaking to you. Anyway, have you remembered? I'm going to test your memories now. Jesus is alive! Oh, that was bad, wasn't it? Some bad memories here. Come on. Jesus is alive!
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And Jesus is coming again. That means another hallelujah. Oh, my dear friends. Are you waiting for the coming? Are you? You know, once I was asked to go and speak to a congregation in Southampton, and the letter said, "We'd love you to come and speak to us, but please don't mention the second coming or hell." I accepted the invitation. After that meeting, I wasn't asked again. I told them at the end of the service that if they weren't waiting for the second coming of the Lord, then they were on their way to hell. 3 months later, I received another letter from the same chapel, and it said, "Dear brother, would you come and conduct the inauguration ceremony of our new chapel, where we long to talk about the second coming, and we long people to know that if they don't trust in the Lord Jesus, they're going to hell." And I accepted the invitation. Apparently they got rid of the pastor and had formed a new chapel. And what a wonderful time we had together, ministering God's word to a group of people who were waiting for the second coming and who had avoided going to hell by accepting Christ as their Saviour and had become excited by it. It doesn't say who wrote this psalm, but I believe it to be David that wrote it. Anyway, it doesn't matter, does it? It's helped us, hasn't it, to understand where we stand before God and what we need to have when we come into God's presence. That excitement, that joy of knowing God as our God and of Jesus as our Saviour, and in knowing, most of all, that it is the Holy Spirit that takes His word and implants it into our hearts and minds. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us. You know, I send out now the Bible study every month to 17 people on the email. And we're going through Revelations. And this month it'll be the third church of the seven. And I always put in there, if you have any comments or any comments about anything about the word, or if you have any queries, if you have any questions, please email me. They must be all quite happy because I never receive emails from anybody. There's some in here that get the studies. So if you do have queries, if you do have questions, please, even if you enjoy the study, let me know and give me a bit of encouragement. And if you want to receive the study, then give me your email afterwards and I'll add you to my biblical study list. And you can have the studies each month. I had one email from a young lady who said to me, "Why RW Well, here, I'm known as Wally. At home, I'm known as Reg. Why? Well, you see, my father's name was Reg. When he died, I decided to take my second name, which is Reginald, as my name. And not only that, when I moved into Wessex, I didn't want to be known as a Wessex Wally. So I became Reg. Anyway, that's what the RW is on the end of the thing, because some of the people in the Bible study group know me as Reg and some know me as Wally, so I always sign off R/W. So they both lots know who it is. And this young lady emailed me to find out why. But I did get encouragement from another young lady who had moved to Bristol, and she said, I said, well, do you still want to receive the Bible study? Oh yes, she said, please. I'm enjoying going through Revelations. I've never read Revelations before. I don't know about you, but I think Christians are afraid of Revelation. Because they can't understand some of it, they're afraid to go through it. Well, get on and give me your email addresses and you can hear about Revelation as the Holy Spirit gives it to you. I think time's gone, I think, Dan. It's 11:45. Is it gone? I was speaking at a youth fellowship at Chichester many, many years ago. And the Mowboy Choir was singing. And I went about 20 minutes, half an hour or more, over time. And when the choir stood up to sing their last piece, the choir master said, "Now we'll sing, Now Breaks the Dawn." Well, I'm not going to speak that long. I used to belong to the Marble Parade, and every service but here at Liz, every service I take, I always sing a solo. And a friend said to me, "But you did sing a solo." I said, "Did I? When?" She said, "You sang, 'He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today.'" Well, how about joining me in that? You know it? Come on. "He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." I do hope that's true of every one of you here this morning, that Jesus Christ lives within your heart. May the Lord bless each